pray for that family as they just had their second child, a little girl. And so Ryan thought he was in trouble the first time. I promise you, it is over now. Is everybody all right? And anyhow, Wyatt, I thought I was in trouble with Wyatt, but I found out that my granddaughter, it's over now. I'm in trouble, all right? And she loves Pop-Pop as long as I have gummies. And as long as I have gummies, I have her heart, all right? But anyhow, she is just a pistol right now, and we're having a good time with her. And I sure am thankful for my grandbabies, my youngins. I try to figure out all this Sunday, Daughter Day, and all this other stuff, and I just ain't got it figured out. So happy Son's Day to all the men, and happy Daughter's Day to all the ladies, all right? You're one or the other. Can I get a witness, all right? I really believe that it's a liberal holiday. We didn't have, come on, I need somebody to help me. We didn't have crap like that when I was growing up, all right? And if you was a son or a daughter, you just stayed quiet. I need somebody to help. Stay at the back of the line and be quiet about it. But apparently they didn't get enough attention, so now we have Son's Day and Daughter's Day to go along with their birthday and their, you know, whatever. I graduate. Man, I can't keep up with all the stuff, all right? But I am thankful for my family and my sons and my daughter, all right? I'm thankful to be the pastor of this church, too. I'm thankful that y'all would have anything to do with me. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Mark chapter number 8 tonight. And we'll look at a passage of Scripture that probably some of you may not have even known existed. Some of you may be familiar with it, but it's only four or five verses. So it's one of those things that's hid in Scripture. And but we'll try to talk about it tonight. And you probably have heard it alluded to, at least, if not preached from. And so we'll look at it in Mark chapter number 8. Just to give you an idea of what's going on in Mark chapter number 8, we have the feeding of 4,000. Now, many of us are familiar with the feeding of 5,000 and 12 baskets left over. This was done in Jesus' ministry, early in Jesus' ministry, and it was done for the Jews. This is one where Jesus fed 4,000. It was done in a Gentile nation. And they collected of the baskets, seven baskets concerning this, of what was left over, of the fragments that was left over. And then Jesus said to the disciples to beware of the leaven. And, of course, they took that to mean that he was rebuking them for not bringing bread on their trip. And so Jesus asked them, "Do you not understand?" And he makes a statement in the Scripture here in verse number 18. He says, "Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember?" And so anyhow, they had missed a spiritual teaching, a spiritual truth. And this is what Jesus was referring back to. This wasn't the first time. It's not the last time that they'll miss the truth about Jesus. They miss truths about Jesus over and over. When he foretold of his death, they missed the truth. They missed the spiritual truth concerning that. But in this, he tells them to beware of the leaven. The leaven was the false teaching that went along with the gospel. The gospel would have been the bread, and this leaven was hidden in it. It would hide itself in it. And that was false teachings, which would bring them back to the law. Essentially, later, that would be the leaven in that bread. And so they missed the spiritual meaning, and they thought to themselves, "Is he rebuking us because we forgot to bring bread on the trip?" And so Jesus says to them, "You have eyes, but you don't see. You have ears, but you don't hear." And then we have an illustration. And this is found in verse number 22. And this is what we're going to read tonight down through verse number 26. The Bible says, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. When he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, He asked him if he saw aught. The Bible says, and he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Verse number 25. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. As we look at this passage of Scripture, it's just a few verses. But it was an illustration that God used to emphasize his teaching that he had already taught. Having eyes, they see not. Having ears, they hear not. This is the only one that I'm aware of, as far as a miracle goes, that Jesus performed that wasn't done on the first try. Is everybody with me? All right? So the Bible says that he touched him and the guy seen, but he was seeing men as trees walking. And so he touched him again, and he was made whole, he was restored, and he seen clearly. Now, this isn't to imply that Jesus had any lack of power. Is everybody all right? You can't take this and say, well, this was a bad one, so he had to do it twice because he wasn't powerful enough to do it the first time. All right? Let's get right where we need to be tonight. This was the one that spoke and said, let there be light. And there was light. All right? I do not think he had a problem curing a blind man. All right? Matter of fact, we have instances in other places where he did heal a blind man. We know of blind Bartimaeus, who sat on the roadside and cried, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The Bible says that he called him forth, but the Bible never says that he touched him. It never says anything other than Jesus told him his faith has made him, and he saw because of his faith. So as far as we know, blind Bartimaeus was cured. He was healed. He received his sight by the voice of God. Then we have another instance in Scripture where a blind man was led out and told Jesus spit in the dirt and he made clay out of it. And then he put it on the man's eyes and told him to go wash in the pool. Everybody know that one? We sing that song around here, all right? Wading in the water. That's what that song is referring to in Scripture. And so Jesus, he had different methods of healing. But in this particular method, we see a second touch. We see a need for, because of the illustration, a second touch. I was looking at this today, and man, I've been thinking about it and been trying to figure out where we wanted to go tonight and what God would have us to do tonight as we prepare for the Harvest Jubilee. I was talking to my buddy today, and me and him was talking about politics and all this other stuff, and I don't mind talking politics at all. It gets me mad. And I have to get right with Jesus. But anyhow, I don't mind talking it. Me and him was talking politics and different things like that. And he made the statement. He said, you know what the greatest threat to the truth is? And of course, I'm thinking, you know, there's 100 things that I could say right here. But he's asked me a specific, what is the greatest threat to the truth? And I said, I don't know. Tell me. I'm sure I know it, but I don't know what answer you're looking for. And he said this, he said, thinking that you already have it. The biggest enemy and the biggest threat to the truth is believing that you already have the truth. Is everybody all right? And believing that you know everything. Believing that there's nothing that can, you've got it all together. And these disciples, they were in this place with the Lord. They figured they got it all together. And they said, what is he rebuking us for not bringing bread? And Jesus said, man, you have missed the whole point of what I'm trying to say. You're walking with me. You're talking with me. You're learning from me. And you're missing the spiritual applications that are going along with this. And I feel like a lot of us can relate to this blind man. That's what we're going to focus on tonight, and this is the blind man. And I think a lot of us can relate to this blind man because he wasn't blind from birth. I say, preacher, how do you know that? Because the Bible says God restored him. That means at some point he had something he could see, and for whatever reason, a disease or whatever, he has lost his sight, and Jesus simply restored it. So I think that by that evaluation, I think we can say that at one time he had sight, but yet he needed another touch. Is everybody all right? And that's what I want to look at tonight. I think a lot of Christians are in this place right now. They have, in the past, they had sight. In other words, there was a time in their life that they got saved. There was a time in their life where Jesus came and Lord convicted their hearts and they responded to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and they trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And they once were blind, but now they see. Is everybody all right? But life, as it always does, gets in the way. It starts muddying the waters, all right? I can go out there to the pond, and I can be looking through the pond and everything else, and I can see fish, and I can see all the minnows running around, and I can see stuff going on as far as the grass and whatever's in the pond and all this. And anyhow, that puppy of mine, if she sees me, she's going to be out there, and she's nosy. Is everybody all right? And she's not going to stand on the bank and look in the pond like I do. She's going to get right there where I'm looking. And, man, she'll get it all messed up so bad you can't see anything in there. The waters get all muddied up. And I think that's what happens in our spiritual life. I think we got saved and it was very clear to us God was doing a work in our life. And, man, we were excited about what God was doing. But life comes at you. It comes at you hard. And before you know it, the waters are muddy. All of a sudden, man, you don't serve God with the same conviction that you did when you first got saved. And I'll say this till the day I die. There's so many people that as soon as they get saved, they're so excited about serving the Lord. They do anything. But then give them about a month, 2 months, 3 months, maybe a year, and all of a sudden you can't find them with a good hunting dog. I got things to do, preacher. I got this to do, I got that to do, I got this to do. Our kids are running us here. Our family's got to do this. We got to do this with this family. We got to do this. We got friends coming over. Is everybody all right? And the waters start to get muddy. The problem is that most of us don't understand how muddy the waters are getting in our lives. And so as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want you to notice in verse number 22 that they brought the man. I'm going to do my best tonight to bring you to Jesus. Because sometimes I feel like maybe we don't see things. Maybe we ain't seeing things too clearly. Maybe the waters have gotten muddied in our life. And we're not going to do it ourselves. We're going to need some help to get us there. So I hope tonight to help you get to a place where you're seeing clearly. I want you to notice a few things about this man. I got three of them and we'll be done tonight. But for this work to take place, I want you to notice the first thing that Jesus did. He had to remove the man. The Bible says in verse number 23, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And I want you to notice that to do a work in this man's life, Jesus first had to remove him from the place that he was at that time. Can I say this? If you want to see clearly in your life, you are going to have to get away from the distractions. I'm going to say it again because I know somebody needs it in here tonight. If you are going to see clearly, you are going to have to allow God to remove you from some of the distractions that are keeping you in muddy waters. We got people running around here. They won't. If I asked you, man, you want to have a closer walk to God. You want to be in a closer fellowship with God. You want to be in an intimate relationship with the Lord. You'd all raise your hands. But the problem is that there's distractions that are keeping you from that. And the very first thing that Jesus had to do to get this man to see clearly is to remove him from his position where he was. He removed him from the city. He removed him, listen, everybody look up here, from his comfort zone. Say, man, blind man ain't that comfortable. You'd be surprised how comfortable you can get in any condition that you are in. I had my eye surgery. I was laid up there on the couch. They told me I had to sleep sitting up. That just ain't me. I remember sitting down in that recliner and thinking, this is not going to happen at all. But about 12:30, I need somebody to help me. Boom. I was out. Y'all hear me? I found out that I can sleep about any way. It doesn't matter. Sit straight up. I can sleep. Why? Because we get comfortable. We get comfortable in any circumstances. And we can become complacent. We can go right off into sleep. Is everybody all right? This man, for him to see clearly, he had to be removed from the distractions that were in his life. Trying to help us tonight. I want revival for all of us. We don't have these meetings just so we can have a meeting. These meetings ain't so we can get the whole community saved. I know that's a surprise to some of y'all. But the truth of the matter is that's not where the heart of being going through revival is. Man, we're excited about what God's doing. I'm excited about what God's doing. But unless this church gets and that falls on you just as much as it falls on me. Amen. So we got to see clearly. And to see clearly, we're going to have to remove ourselves from distractions. Amen. We already have things planned for next week. Wow, preacher, I already had this planned. No, you didn't. You're lying. I know. Preacher ain't supposed to call you a liar, but I just did. You're a liar. We've been announcing this for months. You knew very well what this was going to be next week. You chose to do something else. Why? Because you like being in muddy waters. But you like to critique the preacher. You like to critique leadership. You like to critique everybody else. When they're not seeing clearly, but you all up in the muddy waters. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if you're going to see clearly, you're going to have to remove yourself from the distraction. You're going to have to be willing to do that. I can't do it for you. I'm not going to do it for you. You'd be mad at me, you'd be calling the police and everything else. I can't do all that, all right? But you can make that choice. If you want to see clearly, if you want restoration, you need to get free of some things that are holding you back. Hey, is everybody all right? Some of us trying to get with God while we're holding on to the devil. I need somebody to help me. Got people in our life we ain't got no business being around. Got relationships we ain't got no business being in. When we're holding on to distractions and we want God to do a work in our life because we're not seeing things clearly, but yet we're not willing to take Him by the hand and let Him lead us away from the distractions. See, for this man to get a work in his life, he was going to have to get away from the distraction. And it's for everybody. I want you to know that tonight. Hey, some people in here probably thinking, well, I'm a leader and I paid my dues and I've done this, that, and other. No, you ain't. No, you sure ain't. You're probably the one that's the muddiest of water right now. Because just like the disciples, they thought they knew it all. They thought they had it figured out, but they didn't. We're going to see clearly. You're going to have to be removed from some of the distractions that are keeping you from the relationship that you need to have with the Lord. Is everybody all right? So let me ask you this question in application tonight. What distractions are keeping you from walking with Him? Tonight, if Jesus came back to where you're sitting at, would you take Him by the hand and let Him lead you away from those things? Say amen. At least three of you, and then we'll go on, all right? He removed him. Everybody wants to work, but we want to stay where we want to stay in our comfort zone. We want to stay in what we want to do. God, I want you, but I only want you when I, just when I call. Where my, I don't have my wallet on me. I pull out my ATM card and stick it in there. Punch in my little code and tell Jesus, all right, I'm going to need you to do this. It's how we treat him. It's how we treat him. Look here, if I need you, I'll put the card in. I'll make the phone call. You just hang out over yonder. Is everybody all right? He removed him. Y'all, I want to see clearly. I want this revival to be just as special as revivals in the past, but I don't want to get to the other side of this thing and it be the same way we come in. I want God to do a work in all of us, myself included. But to do that, we're going to have to let God remove us from distractions and let us work on them, all right? Number two, not only did he remove him, but he restored him. I like this. He restored him. Say, man, that was quick. It sure was. There ain't a whole lot going on here. The Bible says that Jesus took him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored. And saw every man clearly. He restored him. He done this privately. I want you to notice this. They brought him to Jesus, but Jesus led him out. I need a mom and a daddy to hear me right now. As much as you want your youngins to be involved in this, this is something that's private. What I mean by that is that this restoration took place because God and him was alone. I don't see anything in here about his friends going with him. We see Jesus took him by the hand and led him out of town. It doesn't say that Jesus addressed his friends. Even when Jesus releases him in the next verse and tells him to go home, he doesn't tell his friends what to do. Why? Because I don't believe his friends was there. It was a private. It's something that only you can do. Mama, only you can do. I had this Sunday, man, I was preaching over there in Chattahoochee, Florida. Man, it was good. Man, people were getting saved. Five people got saved Sunday morning. And this lady come up, and she was in her 60s. And she come up, and man, she had her glasses on, and they were completely fogged up. I couldn't even see her eyes. She's squalling. She's snotting everywhere and everything. And I, matter of fact, I give the invitation, and she was over here on the altar praying. And she looked up at me, and I guess I didn't see her or whatever. I told her to raise her hand. And anyhow, I didn't see her because she was over here, but kind of behind me over here to the side. And she hollered at me during the invitation, hey! And I looked over, and she's doing this. She's waving at me like, I need to get saved. I was like, well, praise God. I said, well, y'all let me, you know, those that raise your hand, you come forward or whatever. And the old boy back over in this corner, he's about 22, 24 years old. He pops up, and here he comes, and here she comes. And man, she is squalling, she's crying, snot running everywhere. And her husband, he's walking back to the seat, and she hollers at him, hey! He turns around and he looks at her, and listen, he wasn't acting like he was enjoying the service at all at any point during this thing, but she had done made him go down there and pray with her, and now she's coming to get saved, and he's headed back to the seat, and she just hollered out for him, hey! He turns around, he looks at her and throws his hands up like that, and she said, come on! We're getting salvation by committee tonight. I need somebody to help me. Anyhow, he comes down there. You can tell he was mad about it. He gets down there, and I'm sitting there with him, and I get down on my knees with him. And I got the young boy. I got the older lady there, and I'm sitting there. And, boy, I'm just giving them the Romans road, and I'm quoting it because I'm still leading the service. Ain't nobody come up to help me. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to lead the service. And I'm quoting scripture, and we're going through all of this just like I would anybody sitting on the front row. And anyhow, I said, now, if you believe that, I said, the best way you know how, I want you to call out to God, let him know you're a sinner, and receive him. Ask Jesus to come into your life to save you, to be your Lord and Savior, to forgive you. Anyhow, she goes to praying. Young boy, he goes to praying. And they get finished, and she looks up at me, and I still can't see her eyes. Her glasses are fogged up. I'm telling y'all, it was a trip now. I mean, I couldn't see nothing. And she's sitting there looking at me like that, and she says, I said, now, did y'all get saved this morning? And they were like, yeah, we sure did. She turned around to him. She said, you get saved this morning? To her husband. I said, man, this is getting good. He was like, I don't know what just happened. You know, I mean, he was shocked that this was happening right now. She looked at him. She said, did you pray? She said, we going to the house different today. You hear me? I was like, woo, I don't know what was going on. I need somebody to help me. But what I do know is this. He wasn't under conviction. She was. And no matter how much you want him to get in on it, no matter how much you want mama to get in on it, no matter how much you want your spouse to get in on it, no matter how much you want your kids to get in on it, it is a private affair. It's a private affair. You got to make the decision tonight whether or not you want to walk hand in hand with God and have your life restored. There may have been a time where you seen clearly. There may have been a time where you had your vision. There may have been a time where God saved you. But the waters have been muddied up. And I'm telling you, to get back to where you see clearly, you're going to have to let God remove you from some distractions. You have to let him remove you from some things in your life, and you're going to have to let him restore you, but it's going to be privately. This ain't a corporate thing. Is everybody all right? I wish it was. I wish we could all come down here as a church and make a decision for the whole church. But we can't. It's a decision that only you can make with the Lord. It's a private decision. Not only was it privately, but it was personal. What do you mean by that, preacher? I want you to look at Scripture, if you will. This is something that just caught my eye. Maybe it'll help you. Maybe it won't. Bible says in verse number 24, and he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. At this point, Jesus had already spit in his eyes. Jesus had already touched him. It would have been very easy to just go along with the flow and say, yeah, I'm seeing. I can see. Oh, see, this is where it gets personal. Because he could have left there with some sight, but not seeing clearly. He could have left there and said, I mean, if he was in a Benny Hinn, service, he might have said, yeah, I can see the light. But he wasn't seeing clearly. This is where it gets real personal. This is where you got to be honest with God. This is where God gives you an opportunity and says, hey, how much do you want? I mean, if you just want to be able to tell people that you see, then you can go through life seeing men as trees walking. Or you can let God touch you again and you can see some things clearly. I need somebody to hear me tonight. Man, he restored him, but it was a private transaction. He was alone with God, but it was a personal transaction in that he had to want it. He had to want to see clearly. Because he could have walked off from that situation having some vision and it not be clear. I need somebody to help me. I went to the doctor when I went for my eyes, and I had these, I still have it, and this eye is bad. I have floaters. They say it's an early sign of a detached retina and all this other stuff. And anyhow, it was so bad, I could literally be looking at you and then all of a sudden you'd just be a blur. And then it'd pass over and I could see you again. I went the first time and we talked the first time. This is what the guy told me. First time I walked in, he said, I can do this thing, but you're liable to go blind. I said, this ain't for me, and I walked out. That was like 2014. This past year, I walked back in there, and the guy said, man, ain't no problem. We'll just vacuum them things out, put you some new stuff in there. You'll be good to go. You won't ever have to worry about it again. That's what I want. Is everybody all right? Man, they done that thing, and he says, I got to put an air bubble in there to keep your eye from collapsing. He said, but your body will absorb the air bubble, and it'll, and anyhow, that was why I couldn't come and preach or anything like that, because I had this little bubble running around my eye like that. And while I was standing up, I get drunk. I know what some of y'all feel like on Friday night. Y'all stay with me. Anyhow, I thing finally absorbed. It took it about a week and a half or something like that. It took longer than what he was saying because I was really getting mad with him fixing to hurt him, all right, because he acted like it was no big deal. But as soon as that thing healed up, I need somebody to hear me right here. Man, I could close my left eye and I could read from that chart all day long. I'm talking about right down to the bottom. I could roll right through it. You cover this eye up and put this one up there, and it might take me 35 minutes, but I could eventually read it with all the floaters that was going across my eye. And here was the thing. I had to make a decision. I'll never forget, before we did the surgery, I had to make a decision. Do you want to just see, or do you want to see clearly? Because the fact of the matter is, I could see. It was aggravating as it could be, but I could see. But I had to make a decision, do I want to see clearly? I know there's going to be problems down the road, and there's going to be things that I'm going to have to do, but listen, I don't want to just barely see. I don't want to just have some vision. I wanted to see clearly. And that was a decision, look at me, I had to make. Have people tell you, oh, you see, you don't need to go through all that. That's too much money. You're not looking through my eye. He restored him privately, personally, progressively. Progressively. It's the only miracle in Scripture that I can find where Jesus performed a miracle on somebody progressively. And this is what I believe. I've learned from this story. There may come times later in my life where I need another touch. I think Paul said it like this, that you and I, we don't see clearly. We're looking through a dim glass. And there's going to be times as I mature in the Lord that at what I don't see right now, I'm going to need another touch from him to see clearly on down the road. And so I believe that, listen, everybody look at me right here. I believe this is for everybody. I believe it's for every person that's sitting in here. No matter if you've been saved a year, 10 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, or more than that, every single one of us could use a good touch from the Lord. Get us back on track, seeing clearly. He restored him privately, personally, progressively, and powerfully. Powerfully. The man, the Bible says in verse number 25, that Jesus touched him again upon his eyes, and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Seen every man clearly. Tonight I ask you this question. Do you want to be restored? I say, preacher, I ain't in that bad a shape. Preacher, it ain't that bad. I'm all right, preacher. I'm okay. Are we? Are we really okay? Man, I went into that church. Can I just be honest? I went into that church and I preached a sermon. Hey, how about this? I preached the same exact scripture and the same exact story that Dalton preached right here. We're on the way home. Me and Michelle's on the way home, and I called Dalton. I always try to call and see how it went. I said, man, how did it go? I think it went all right. That's what he always tells me. And then everybody's like, Dalton did such a great job. He's just amazing. He's the greatest thing in the world. Dalton's like, I think I did all right. I know how he feels, because every time I get finished preaching, I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it was all right. Anyhow, he was telling me, he's like, man, I think it was all right. He said, I preached out of Genesis chapter number 32 where Jacob wrestled with a man. And Michelle's jaw about hit the floor of the car. I mean, she was like. And we didn't work it out. I don't know. And so anyhow, he's sharing his sermon with me. And anyhow, I'm listening to his sermon, and I could not believe he had 5 points. I couldn't believe it. I think I even asked you. I said, tell me what your 3 points were. And you were like, I actually had 5. I'm like, well, I had a heart attack. Now, I know he probably preached them 5 in about 10 minutes, but I still had a heart attack. I'm like, 5 points. 5 points. So he's going over. He said, I didn't alliterate it, Dad. I just had statements. And so these were my statements. And he started telling me his statements. And anyhow, you know, I alliterate my stuff. And so his statement was my first point. His statement, I mean, y'all, is everybody all right? Y'all got the same sermon that the church over in Chattahoochee did. Everybody all right? Let me tell you what the difference was. I got up there preaching Dalton. I thought, dear God, this is awful. They loved it. They was just absolutely loving it. I was thinking, this is the worst. This is just the worst job of preaching I've ever done. I'm sitting up there thinking, man, this thing ain't flowing right. I don't know what I'm doing. Anyhow, I get done, and I literally give an invitation and wasn't expecting a response. We had been in service for over 2 hours. Is everybody all right? Breathe in. Now breathe out. No, y'all couldn't even understand that. Y'all get all upset over an hour and a half service. We were in service over 2 hours. 2 hours and 15 minutes we was in service. And no, I didn't preach that long. Had a group singing. They sang for over an hour. They finally let me up to preach. And I don't know how long I preached, but it wasn't no hour. But anyhow, I give the invitation, and man, people just started moving. People, y'all, we're in a little old church. It was packed. It was a good crowd. They were having their homecoming. They were celebrating 59 years as a church. And they're having their homecoming, and preachers from the pastor there, and members from the pastor there. I don't know why people do homecomings. Y'all look at me. We never having a homecoming. Everybody all right? They some members that have gone from here, and I don't want them back. Ever. Is everybody all right? Ever. Look at me. What I say this, and believe me, ever. That poor preacher, he's up there talking about how great they were. Man, y'all were such great members and everything else. Not me. I'd be up there. Hey, let's welcome them back. These are some of the sorriest members we had. They give me more problems than anybody. Is everybody all right? I'm serious. I'm kidding. I would never do that. But anyhow, I was given the invitation, and all of a sudden, man, the altars are full. Listen to me. The altars are full. A little old church that I don't even know if they'd ever use altars. This is what I was telling them. Y'all come on down to the altar. You do some praying. Get with God. And they're looking at me. I said, y'all know how I am. I ain't kidding. Get up, get down here to the altar and do some praying. All of a sudden, the whole church is down around the altar. People snotting everywhere, crying everywhere. I was thinking, boy, Dalton, I was remembering back in that little old building, a handful of people get on the altar and just squall and cry because the waters wasn't so muddy back then. Let God speak to us. We'll let God work in our lives. And man, I remember everybody talking about, well, we come in the building, it's just different, Brother Robin. No, I remember a time those tears all over the altars here too. Ain't no different. We just choose what we want to remember. We make excuses for why it isn't like it used to be. But the truth is that a lot of us just allow the waters to get muddy. We want everybody else to do it. We want everybody else to start it. We want everybody else to follow through with it. Everybody all right? There was a guy that got up. He comes walking down the aisle. I done dealt with the two over here, and the preacher standing there while I was doing that, and prayed with them, and they both got saved. And the preacher, I noticed him walk off, man walking down the aisle. And this man was nice as he can be. He sees me out at the camp. He talks to me all the time, acts like he knows me. His name's Brother Jerry. He talks to me on a first name basis. Anyhow, he's coming down the aisle. Another older lady's coming over here. She was sitting on the second row. Me and Michelle walked in. We was going to sit on the second row, and she was letting us know that that was her seat. Is everybody all right? Michelle said, I didn't know that y'all had assigned seats. My wife's trying to be nice about it. I'm like, just tell that heifer to move on down another end. But anyhow, everybody all right? Y'all stay with me. Anyhow, he's like, well, we'll just sit around behind her. So we sat there behind her. Well, apparently she fell under conviction for kicking me and Michelle out of the pew. Here she comes. She got saved. Hallelujah. God, she needed to be saved after the way that thing went down. Everybody all right? Walk back over here, and the preacher's down on the altar right in here, and he's on the altar with this man. They're praying together. I'm sitting here, I'm going, man, this is good. I wasn't expecting this. Three people done walked out, three people done got saved, didn't know what was going on here. All of a sudden, that man Jerry, who knows me by name, on a first name basis, he gets up, comes up onto the platform, hugs my neck. Turns out he's a deacon of the church. Been a deacon of the church for years. Said he served. As a matter of fact, the preacher told me he was the best man in the church. Said I ain't got nothing but good things to say about that man. He's been right beside me the whole time. He does anything he's asked. He does everything. He just serves God. He's squalling, puts his arms around me. He said, preacher, I've been fighting this thing for years. I couldn't bring myself to come before the church because I had too much pride. I've known I was lost for years. I've done everything that I was supposed to do. I did everything I was told to do. I did whatever was asked of me, I did it. He said, but the last few years I've known that I'm lost, and I've sat there with pride keeping me from coming forward. And he said, I ain't doing it no more. He said, I ain't wrestling with God no more. I ain't fighting God no more. It's time for my life to change. That boy got saved right there. A deacon of a church. A deacon in the church was there before the pastor got there, serving as the deacon, and here he comes walking down the aisle. Why? Because the waters have been muddied for so many years. Pride. Finally, he just said, you know what? I want to see. And I want to see clearly. Is everybody all right? Left out of there, man, we went back to their fellowship hall, and they had a spread. You hear me? They had every casserole dish you could possibly want to eat. Church was, a lot of them ladies are older ladies. I need somebody to help me. There's a difference. Because when you got younger ladies, most of the stuff they know how to cook gets doo 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 doo. They said, about all right. This wasn't like that at all. Man, they was food. The preacher said, listen, me and the preacher, I'm sure I'm speaking for the preacher when I say when we go over there to eat, if you need to get saved, if God's still dealing with your heart, you just come and we'll stop. I'm like, look, dude, this is your church. You leave me alone. I'm going to eat. Is everybody all right? I'm just kidding. We're sitting there eating, and he tells me, he said, I'll be right back, preacher. I said, okay. Comes back, 26-year-old man. Tore up. Wasn't going to leave the church without getting saved. Five people got saved. Is everybody all right? Listen to me. I remember back when our church, back when the waters wasn't so muddy, then we were as responsive to the Holy Spirit. Now, what are you saying, preacher? You saying five people need to get saved in this church? Could be. But I ain't interested in that right now. I am. I want you to be saved. More than anything, I want the heart that those people had. They just wanted, I'm talking about, give it to me. Remember when we were like that? Just give it to me. I take all I can get of him, preacher. Just keep on. Keep on. He removed him. He restored him. Lastly, I'm done. He released him. I won't preach it. But he released him. Last verse, in verse number 26, he told him to go home. He said he sent him away to his house. But he gave him instructions. I've taken you, listen, everybody look at me. I've taken you and removed you from the distractions. Don't go back to them. Listen here. Don't go back to them. You go to your house. I don't care if you have to walk all the way around the city to get to it. Don't go back into the town. Don't go tell anybody what's going on. Because all they're going to do is muddy the water. All they're going to do is bring up more distractions. And you're going to be right back in the same place. I need somebody to help me. Tonight, I pray that your desire is as much as mine, that this church sees clearly. Dalton's going to come to the piano for me. Miss Teresa, somebody is. I wonder how many of us get around the altar like we used to do. Let our hearts get tender. Get away. Get along with God like we used to do. Say, God, I want to see clearly. Let some things go on in my life. The waters have been muddied, but I don't want that anymore, Lord. I want to see clearly. What a great night to prepare for revival. Start Sunday. But tonight, we can make preparations in our heart. Carry us into Sunday morning. Bring us face to face with God. Give him the opportunity to touch us again. Clear the waters up. So we can see our purpose clear. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you for, Lord, the fellowship. Lord, I enjoy coming to church and seeing family, loved ones. Some of them I hadn't known so long. Others I've known since I've been here. But God, family, you put us together. As a family tonight, Lord, I know what I preached. I know this is a personal thing. It's a private thing. But Lord, I come to you on behalf of the church. My desire for the church has always been, I believe what your desire is, and that's, Lord, to reach the lost. Lord, to live in our community as an example. Lord, to show, to display, Lord, your love in our life, your love for others through us. Lord, to be your hands and to be your feet. Lord, to fulfill our purpose of reaching Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost. God, on behalf of the church, Lord, I pray that we get a clear vision. Lord, if the waters have been muddied, as far as the church goes, I accept responsibility.
Lord, I don't want to just see people as trees walking, but God, I want to see people like you do, clearly. Lord, I pray that you give this church a vision that's clear. We see this purpose, Lord, work towards it. Lord, I pray for the individuals in the church. Distractions come. They're a part of life. Distractions come every day. They come when we're driving. They come when we're at work. They come when we're at home relaxing. There's distractions when we're on vacation. God, we can't get away from them. Lord, there are those distractions that really muddy the water when it comes to you. Lord, I pray that each individual in this building tonight has come to you for another touch. But I pray tonight, Lord, that they would allow you to remove them from those distractions, to lead them. Pray that they'd be submissive, obedient. Lord, take you by the hand. That you take them wherever you want, away from the distractions, away from the noise, alone with you. Lord, I pray they allow you, God, to touch them and to touch them again. Lord, thank you for my church. Thank you for my church family. Lord, as we prepare for revival, Lord, I pray that you prepare the hearts, the people that will be hearing the sermons. God, I pray that you'd prepare the men. We'll be delivered. Lord, I pray that they don't just come walking in with a sugar stick, something to ooh and ahs. But God, I pray that as Jacob wrestled with you, Lord, they would wrestle with you over what to preach to us. God, I pray that you'd take what's said. Lord, stir our hearts to repentance. Lead us, Lord, to application. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name we'd become better Christians for it. Restore unto us, Lord, the joy of our salvation. Lord, light a fire under us. Lord, to serve you, to do it clearly. Before we close the service tonight, I want to ask a question. Maybe things aren't so clear for you. Maybe you'd be honest with me tonight. Say, preacher, if I was to die right now, preacher, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. If that's you tonight, nobody's looking around, I ask you to simply raise your hand and let me see that so I'll know how to end the service. I'm not embarrassed, you call you out or send anybody to you, preacher. Pray for me. I do not know where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. If that's you tonight, I want you to raise your hand up. All right. Our Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, we thank you for loving us. Lord, we thank you for taking a little bit of time with us tonight. Lord, I pray that you bless us as we leave and go our separate ways. God, I pray that we don't walk out of the building and forget what's been said tonight. Lord, I pray that we don't wake up tomorrow and forget what's been said tonight. Lord, I pray that we carry this all the way to Sunday. Walk into the church, Lord. Seeing as